So today's message on the 31st of May 2026 is entitled, No Way, No Way. And sometimes in life, I'm sure you'll agree, you come up against difficulties and obstacles that no matter what you do or say, there appears to be absolutely nothing that you can do to overcome them. They seem to be insurmountable. The road, it seems, is absolutely blocked, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Have you had incidents like that in your life where it doesn't look like there is a way forward? The road is blocked, you're trapped, and you don't know what to do. It could be to do with maybe, say, losing a job or failing an exam or a broken relationship, a massive disappointment, or something as simple as a lifetime prayer that you've been saying every day that looks like it's never going to get answered. There seems to be just no way forward, no resolution, and practically you're getting to the point of having no hope left. You've come to the end of your tether. It's not a new thing, this. It's not a new thing. The Bible's full of things like this. Because after finally being released by Pharaoh, after countless acts of God through Moses, all those signs and miracles, you remember, from frogs to gnats to the river Nile turning to blood, right up to the death of the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, God was still in control. No matter what the Israelites thought, God had not lost control. But when God decided to guide the Israelites towards the Red Sea as they were escaping, it looked like everything had gone wrong. There was just no way out. The sea was in front of them and the Egyptian soldiers were behind them, armed and ready to either recapture them or to slaughter them. They were heading for an encounter that they just in the natural couldn't win. There was no way. They were going to end up dead or back in slavery. We see this in Exodus 13, 17 to 18, which reads, when Pharaoh let the people go, the Israelites, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that would have been shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. You know, as soon as things don't go the way we want them to go, we get upset, don't we? It doesn't take much to dishearten us and think the worst. We think we've come and hit a brick wall, that we don't know what to do anymore. We've come to the end of our own ability. We've tried and we've failed. Where do we go now? There seems to be no way. Reading from Exodus 14, 11 to 16, we go on to see that they said to Moses, the Israelites said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You need only to be still. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And there's another way of saying no way, isn't there? No way. Surely not. Surely that can't possibly happen. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the escaping Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. No, no way. Well, that's exactly what happened. If this had been anyone but Moses, would they have had the confidence to do such a thing? Hold out a staff to divide the water of the Red Sea. We are coming through. God said so. Think about it. Would they have had the confidence to do such a thing? Would they have believed without doubting that what God said would happen? Reading on Exodus 14, 21 to 23, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong easterly wind and turned it into dry land. All that night, when nobody was looking, God was doing something. The waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. I mean, why wouldn't you follow them through a gap in the water if you saw a gap in the water? Surely if the Israelites can get through, then so can we. That's logical human thinking, isn't it? If we run after them, we'll get through. A way had appeared for them to pursue their escaping slaves, but the reality that God was involved was just about to occur to some of them. They didn't really realize it wasn't for them, it was for the Israelites. In Exodus 14, we go on to read in verses 24 to 28, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." All of a sudden it dawned on them that they're not just on their own getting after the escaping slaves. They realized that the God was fighting against them. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. There was no way but God. He would be their way. What was it that Jesus said? "I am the way," didn't he? Something similar happened to the king of Judah, and this is how it happened. Watch and see how and why God got involved in a situation where in the natural there was again, once again, no way, no way out, no way forward. This is the story in 2 Chronicles 20:1 to 22. All about King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea," that is the Dead Sea. "It is already at Hazazon Tamar," and alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord and in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress. And you will hear us and save us. That sounds like confidence to me, doesn't it? Faith in the one true God. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. There's a song about that. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all those who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I'll say that again. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. And then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. No way. You mean to say that God just took over the situation? He stood in the gap once again and declared that he was the way. And did you notice what triggered it? Their praise and their worship, their adoration, falling before him, all together in one heart and mind. That triggered God into action. And reminding God of his promises is another thing to do. Remember his promises. We have that same challenge here in 2026. Some things look really dire, don't they? The government, the media, the world systems, the lack of respect for God's word, trouble in the church, trouble in other churches, and yet, there is still a way through all this. And you know what that way is, don't you? For those who are not sure, I'll tell you. He was there all along in the Old Testament stories where there was no way for those who didn't trust in him. Those who rejected the one true God. For them, there was no way. But for those who trusted, there's the promise of John 14, 1-7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. He was the way then, and he's the way now. Nothing is too hard or difficult for God. When you come to your wit's end and you want to give up, that's when God can step in and deliver you from whatever is blocking you, blocking your way. There is a way, even when you're convinced in your heart that there isn't. No way? Yes, there's a way, and that way is Jesus. Father, we thank you that you were there in the beginning. You've always been there for us, Lord, whether we recognize that or not. And now, Lord, we've accepted you. We turn to you in times of difficulty and confusion. And Lord, asking you to show us the way forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.